Let's take our Bibles, shall we, and turn to Psalm chapter 119. We're going to be looking at the words afflict, afflicted, and affliction, and their relationship to Psalm 119. The topic of our message this evening is divine comforts for the afflicted. Let me just take a moment to encourage you to listen to the Strength for Today Bible broadcast this coming Saturday. We're on WHIM on 1520 on the AM dial at 10:30 in the morning. And then Saturday evening, we're on WTLN 950 on the AM dial at 8:30 in the evening. And we're going to be delivering a message on Saturday morning and Saturday evening on the Strength for Today Bible broadcast entitled, How I Receive the Strength for the Day. And I'd like to encourage you to listen to that message because it will be a blessing, especially to those of you that are going through trials and testings. I share a lot of personal testimony in that message and some of the things that have been taking place in our family. We share with our Strength for Today congregation at large, if you want to call them that, and open up my heart to them. And likewise, principles that will be excellent. If you know of any shut-ins, if you know of anyone that is having a difficult time with health, I would encourage you to just review those times and encourage them to listen in, either morning or evening. I think it will be helpful. But now let's look at Psalm 119. You know, in Psalm 119, the words afflict, afflicted, or affliction are found six times. And what I'd like for us to do is look at these references and see the relationship that God's Word has in the matter of afflictions that may come our way. You know, Job said, as the sparks fly upward, so is man born to adversity. Job chapter 5 and verse 7. But I've often shared the fact that there are other chapter 5s and verse 7 that answer Job's plight. Job 5:7 says, as the sparks fly upward, so is man born to adversity. But if you ever read 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So the New Testament 5:7s kind of answer Job 5:7 for us and give us encouragement. But there are six times that the word afflict or affliction is found, and I want us to look at those. You'll notice verse 50, verse 67, verse 71, verse 75, verse 92, and verse 153, all of them use the concept of affliction. And in each instance that we're going to be looking at, all six of these, we're going to see that God's precepts and God's presence are promised in order to give us peace. Isn't it wonderful that God has given already in Christ Jesus all things that pertain to life and godliness? You know, it's been our joy to be receiving such wonderful meals over this time during Melody's illness. And it's interesting how individuals will come to me and say, now, Pastor John, we know that you're kind of working things in charge. Now, we want you to know that everything you need for this meal is in the bag. We have the salad here, and we have the onions here. And some of you have been so careful, you actually have compartmentalized each ingredient that goes in the salad. So even someone with my IQ knows exactly what bag to put in, and it's perfectly fresh. And boy, have those meals been wonderful. And you know, you've given me all things that pertain to a wonderful, wonderful meal. But you know, the Lord, has given to us in Christ Jesus all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And he has given us the equipment in order to fulfill that. You know, afflictions will come our way. It reminds me of the story of a bird, a little bird that was never able to learn the song that his master was wanting to teach him how to sing. Some of you have birds in your homes. Brother Jim Forbes, the treasurer of our church council, is it one or two cockatiels in there? Two cockatiels. And every time we come around, he seems to be covered. I don't know if it's whether those cockatiels are antisocial or what, but they just go to bed early, I think, is what it is. And maybe you don't want them to be chirping and making too much noise during our meeting time. But the story is told of this bird that just would not learn his master's song. Because, you see, there were so many distractions. But someone told the man, you know, if you cover that cage and totally remove all distractions so that all that that bird can see is you and your face, you'll find that that bird will begin picking up the tune. And you know, that so reminded me of times when the Lord has to lay us aside. Sometimes the Lord has to take us aside. It might be through illness. It might be through shipping you over to Iraq. It might be a situation that you're being transferred to an unknown location where you know no one. It might be a time in which you're between jobs. Whatever the case might be, sometimes God places us in a situation where he blankets us over until we'll learn to avoid the cacophony of sounds that are trying to get our attention, and we begin to develop a relationship with the Lord. You know, do we really know the Lord intimately? You know, we may know about him, and we've learned and heard truths about the Bible, and we might be, you know, dispensational, pre-tribulation, pre-millennial, you know, and we can count the strands of the hairs on the four horses of the apocalypse, you know, and we can be dogmatic and know all things, but do we really know the Lord experientially? Sometimes the Lord has to set us aside to concentrate on him. Now, let's look at the psalmist here in Psalm 119. We have seen that the overriding theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. How is it with you and the Word of God? Are you spending time in the Word of God? What is God going to have to bring into your life or mine before we'll learn that he must come first and we must take time to spend with him? Are we neglecting God's word? Look at verse 49. In verse 49, we have the first occurrence of the word affliction. And verse 49 and 50. And I want us to look at what the word of God has to say about the word and affliction. I want you to notice, first of all, number one, we have God's divine provision. God makes a provision for us in the midst of affliction. There's a divine provision. Notice, remember the word unto thy servant upon whom thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me. You know what the word quickened means? It means to make alive. It means to rejuvenate. Now, some of you have worked out in the yard and you've experienced what heat exhaustion is. There have been times when I've been working in the yard and, oh, I'll just wish I had a cold, cool glass of water. Some of you probably are right there now. And you're so thirsty working out in the yard. And then all of a sudden, your wife or one of your children bring you a nice tall glass of water, or maybe iced tea, whatever the case might be, better water for you in a case like that. And boy, when you drink that glass of water, you just feel your whole body rejuvenating. And you get that strength all over again. Well, that's what the Word of God did to the psalmist. He says, Lord, you have made provision for me. And there's a divine provision in verse 50, the Word of God. Now, some of you have wondered why it is that you've got to reach up to touch bottom and you're in such a deep, steep valley and you just can't seem to get out. Maybe it's because you have not been receiving, please don't consider me sacrilegious when I say that, but spiritual Gatorade, spiritual fortification from the Word of God. It says here, thy word hath quickened me. Your marriage need a little quickening, need a little rejuvenating, need a little bit of love and appreciation and consideration again. Start getting into the Word of God. Does your personal relationship with the Lord need to be freshened up? Have you ever walked into a home or perhaps, you're trying to find a hotel room or a motel room and you're so tired traveling with your family and it seems like on the 4th of July they're all filled. And then all of a sudden you see one mom and pop hotel somewhere and you go to the desk and the rates are cheaper, but you go into the room and you smell musty humidity. The windows haven't been opened in what seems to be months. And, you look at the bed sheets and you touch them and they're wet with humidity. And you look at the towels and there are none. You got to go to the front desk and ask for them. And there's some soap in the bathtub, half used. No further comment. And then you have to go and kind of see, and you see all of the rust in the sink, and you wonder, what in the world? You open up the windows and you get some fresh air in there. But that's the way some people are spiritually. They're musty and they need to have the quickening and the free flow of the pneuma, the spirit, the wind of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. There's a divine provision in the Word of God. Are you taking time? Sometimes God has to bring trials into our lives to teach us that we got to get back into the Word of God. We've been getting sloppy. You ever hear a sloppy agape? Well, I've mispronounced the Greek word so that it rhymes better. But the point is, we can get sloppy in our love for the Lord, just like we can get sloppy in our love for our wives and our husbands. And we can get sloppy in our love for our children the way we ought to. And we begin to take individuals for granted when we take the Lord for granted. So we see divine provision. That's the first relationship that God's Word has to us in affliction. Hey, I have provision for you where you can get the strength that you need. You don't have to run first to your analyst or your psychologist or even your pastor first. God has made you and considered you a believer priest. You have the scepter extended to you through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to come boldly before the throne of grace and to interpret the Word of God. He's given you the Holy Spirit within you. You have the unction, 1 John 2. Creo, the application of the oil of the Spirit of God in your heart that you might be able to know the Word of God if you'll take the time. So there's a divine provision. Now, look at verse 67. I want you to notice that God does something else in our lives. There's not only a divine provision, there's a divine prevention. There are some things that the Lord wants to prevent in our lives. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, when times go well for us, it's so easy to stray away, isn't it? You ever hear that hymn writer when he said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's right. We're prone to wander. We have that sin nature within us. And when we neglect the Word of God, we'll wander. But notice, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But you see, affliction can prevent a straying away. There's a divine prevention. It says, "But now I have kept thy word." Sometimes the Lord has to rattle our cage in order to get our attention. Fruit juice. Cleo brought me a wonderful gallon of orange juice, grove orange juice, from one of the roadside groves. And you know, me, I'm used to the Walmart kind, you know. But this was really the good stuff. But you know what? Every time you grab that jug, you know what you needed to do? Make sure the cap is nice and tight. And then you did this. Then you poured it. Then you drank it, pulp and all. You know, it had a tendency. Some of you don't like pulp. I don't mind it. Good roughage. But anyway, fruit juice, by its, unless it's really heavily pasteurized and depulped and whatever else they do to it, you know, we can ask Chuck about that process. He's involved in all of that orange juice making. But you know as well as I do that natural fruit juice has a tendency to settle. And you know what? So do Christians. We have a tendency to settle when we get idle. And that's why Paul told Timothy what? Stir up the gift of God that is within you. And sometimes God has to put a few bumps on the road. You know, the brook would lose its song if we removed the rocks. It's the rocks that sometimes provide the song to the brook. And you know, you see seasoned Christians, and I see them too, and I admire them. And you see believers that have gone on for the Lord for many years. And, you know, some look to me, and then I look to a lot of others. And depending on what age you are, you know, we look to others and such. But we look at them, and how did they get to where they are? It's generally through adversity. You look at your life and the times of spiritual growth, and it's been through the bumps. It's been the rocks under the water that give your brook the song. Divine provision, yes. But you know what? Affliction, divine prevention. Who knows what the Lord might keep us from were it not for the preventive purpose of affliction. God teaches us to snuggle up close to Him. You know, a little child that's walking along with daddy down the darkened woods, when it starts getting dark, that little child wants to get a little bit closer to daddy while he's holding his hand. And that's good. And daddy notices that and takes that little child, puts him close to himself, and that child feels peace and comfort because daddy is near. Well, we need to learn that as well. Look at verse 71 for the third occurrence of the word affliction or afflict in the scriptures of Psalm 119. Here we see a divine purpose. There's a divine purpose in affliction. Listen to me. God is a refiner. He is not an arsonist. He's not a pyromaniac that is wanting to burn down everything in your life indiscriminately without rhyme or reason. God is a refiner, you see. And it says in verse 71, "It is good. It's good for me that I have been afflicted." Now, let me tell you something. It's going to take a while for you to get there. You're not going to say that right away. And you know, in some cases, I'll be the first to say it, we may have to be in heaven before we're ready to say that. But you know what? From God's perspective, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. It's good for me. God's purpose is always what? That I might learn thy statutes. God wants us to experientially learn His statutes. You know, Job said, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. You know, that's the blight of second generation Christians. Second generation Christians hear by the ear. You know, they've been raised in a Christian home. They've heard all the truths of God's word, you know. And, you know, new evangelicalism was born out of fundamentalism. Why did new evangelicalism come about? Because there were once fundamentalists that kind of took a lot of things for granted. They hadn't fought all the old battles that mom and dad did against liberalism. So they began to take their associations for granted, and they wound up dialoguing and playing footsie and getting involved in groups that they really shouldn't be involved with, in ecumenical evangelism and such, forgetting the errors of the past. It's easy for that to happen. And that's why God sometimes has to bring us through the heat treat so that we will experience that first-hand contact that our parents once had. But that takes time, you see. And it says here, there's a purpose. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn experientially, personally, thy statutes. Now, look at verse 75. For the fourth occurrence of the word affliction. And this speaks to us of divine providence. Divine providence. God providentially guides and leads and works in our lives. It says, I know that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. You know, God has to bring us to the place where we look at our lives and we see His faithfulness. Lord, everything that You've providentially brought into my life, Lord, You've never let me down. You've always held me up. Let me tell you, I am here to tell you. I was saved in 1961, but I'm here to tell you God's Word, and God has always been faithful. He's never let me down. Have I let the Lord down? Absolutely. But He's never, ever let me down. Even when I needed a whooping and He gave it to me, it was always because He loved me and He was faithful. And He was faithful in afflicting. Why? Philippians 1:6, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it. Teleos, completely finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. And in faithfulness, He'll afflict us. He's faithful. He's faithful to His Word. Don't think you're the divine exception. Trust His Word. The Lord is faithful to His Word. Divine providence. Now look at verse 92. We want to move along. We want to have plenty of time for prayer. Verse 92. In verse 92, we have God's divine protection. Isn't it wonderful that He protects us during afflicting times? Notice verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. God gives us protection if we'll abide under the umbrella of the shadow of the Almighty. If we'll abide under His shadow, and if we will delight in God's Word and spend time in God's Word, He will protect us. And basically, I guess a good paragraph here would be, Lord, where would I ever be were it not for Your Word? Where would I ever be were it not for Your promises? Lord, there's protection for us. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would have perished. And you know, that's why a lot of Christians are falling through the wayside. They're getting bitter rather than better. They're getting angry towards God instead of humbled towards God, because they're not in the Word of God, their attitude is going to be wrong, you see. Their perception of God is going to be wrong. Why? Because they're not spending time where they get the biblical perspective that they need. So critical that we be in the Word of God. Now, let's close up by looking at verse 145 through 148. Notice divine prayer, the divine prayer in affliction. Notice, I cried with my whole heart. You know what? If God hadn't brought the trial, never would have happened. You know, never would have happened. God wants to bring you through whatever heat treat process He's doing. He wants to do it. Why? Because He wants you to get serious with Him. You can't serve two masters. You can't go around playing church, playing relationship with Him. And God brings us to the place where we finally cry out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to turn the reins of my life over to You. I'm going to turn my ambitions over to You. I'm going to turn my aspirations over to You. I'm going to turn my self-will and my antagonistic spirit and my angry spirit, I'm going to give it to You, Lord. And Lord, I want a divine exchange to take place. I want, Lord, Your life in me. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. There needs to be a divine exchange where you will come to the place and lay it all at the altar and say, okay, Lord, I'm throwing it down. Now, Lord, I want You to rebuild my life by Your prescribed measurements, by Your priorities, by Your standards. Lord, here the psalmist said, through all of this adversity, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I'll keep Thy statutes now. Before it wasn't that way. I cried unto Thee, save me, I'll keep Thy testimonies. See, he's trusting in the Lord. Then look at, just picking some of these verses, look at 153. Consider my affliction. Deliver me, for I do not forget Thy law. Look at verse 154. Plead my cause. Deliver me, quicken me according to Thy word. The word of God is central in every one of these verses that we're looking at. That's why we've entitled this message, Divine Comforts for the Afflicted. How is it with you and the word of God? You go to the Holy Land Experience and take a walk through the scriptorium and you see the history of the preservation of God's Word and the price that people have had to pay so that we might be able to hold God's Word. Some people, you know, they get caught up in arguing about text types. The truth of the matter is, 85% of Christians aren't reading the Bible, whether it's in the Byzantine or the Alexandrian text. We need to get into the Word of God. Start and stop quibbling over text types and get serious with the message of God's Word. You know, that's why Christians today are failing and falling and are so discouraged today. We're not in the Word of God. Excuse me for getting excited about that. Some of you say, well, Pastor John, you've just been eating too well this last week. You got too much energy. Well, I kind of get excited about God's Word, and I think you ought to as well. And let's get into the Word of God. You know, let's stand up. Let's be the men that we need to be in our homes. Let's get some, should I dare say, starch in our undergarments? Should I dare say that? I mean, let's get some backbone, men, and get in the Word of God and start leading our families. You know, by example, let's get in the Word of God, guys. You know, and ladies, you too.
Let's get in the Word of God. Young people, teenagers, get in the Word of God. It's going to give you strength. And you know, you can't be spoon-fed, kids. You know, some of you say, oh, I'll go to church and hear the preacher. Go to Sunday school, hear the Sunday school teacher. Go to junior church, hear the junior church. Get homeschool, get Bible from my teacher. And everything is secondhand. God wants you kids to start getting this book firsthand. And you get alone with God before going to bed and read it on your own. You have the Holy Spirit if you're saved. Let God speak to you. I'm going to stop because we need to have time for prayer. But let's take God's Word seriously. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Word and thank you for the encouragement, the centrality of the message of Psalm 119 in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that although the title of our message seems to be an antinomy, the word comfort and then the word affliction in the same title, yes, it can be if we'll be in the Word of God and see things through your perspective. Bless us now as we go to prayer, spend this sweet time in prayer and fellowship for one another. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.